The sun was setting and the shadows of twilight were slowly creeping in across the Pacific coast. But what truly frightened them is when they saw those shadows turn and begin watching them. But before we begin, if you love cryptids and want to learn the full story, both the legends and the facts delivered as a narrative story, then this guided tour is for you. Loom on over and tap that subscribe, like, or review button depending on where you watch or listen. Now, don your cloaks and blow out your candles. The tour is about to start. I'm Cody, and you're touring cryptids across the Atlas. When they landed in the New World, they couldn't believe all that they saw. Father Junipero Serra, a Franciscan father of the Catholic Church, was charged with a proclamation from the king. Travel up along the coast of the New World, in this land we call Alta California, and plant missions to convert these savages of the land to our ways. Since Europeans first landed along the Californian coast a couple hundred years prior, documented run-ins with local savages had been recounted. Tales of native people adorned in primitive rabbit skin clothes trickled back through colonized trade routes established off the Golden State's coast. But that was of no concern to the Spanish. See, California was a fresh land that gave the Spanish an upper hand and a stronger European influence. This strategic placement, along with the land's bountiful resources, meant that despite the tedious process of settling, claiming this land was a must for them. But the land was not only ripe with resources, but also fresh souls. The first permanent settlement was founded in 1769 in San Diego. This would be the first of 21 missions that would span across the coast all the way up into the San Francisco Bay Area. And at each of these 21 missions, local natives would be lured in with promises of food, trinkets, and ornate cloth. They would often then be baptized into the Catholic Church by choice or force, then integrated into the Spanish way of life. This meant that they were often separated from their families, forced to dress and behave as their priests instructed, and were taught new ways to farm and work. These new converts, neophytes as they were known, were then forced to remain in the mission and work for the padre, or chief priest, to further the growth of the mission. Curiosity often faded fast for these natives, driving them to attempt and escape these missions. But now that they were baptized, the priests viewed them more as property of the church, often rounding up the escapees and escorting them back to the confinements of the settlement. And by escort, I mean beating them into submission with whips. In total, over 83,000 Native Americans were converted to Catholicism, and another 63,000 lost their lives, primarily to disease, malnourishment, abuse, or were slaughtered when they rebelled. This was cultural genocide in its truest form. The 21 missions were placed strategically every 30 or so miles, about a day's ride, all along the 600-mile-long coastline. The El Camino Real, or Royal Road, became a highway for trade and travel between these outposts. But as settlers pressed further northward along those steep cliffs of the Santa Lucia Mountains, tales from many of the local tribes began to trickle in. Stories that gave validation to the strange things the settlers had thought they saw as well. But that validation did not ease their minds. No, because when faced with a desolate and rugged darkness, the last thing anyone would want is to see the darkness looking back. Pepe looked suspiciously back every minute or so, and his eyes sought the tops of the ridges ahead. Once on a white barren spur, he saw a black figure for a moment, then he looked quickly away, for it was one of the Dark Watchers. No one knew who the Watchers were, nor where they lived, but it was better to ignore them and never to show interest in them. They did not bother one who stayed on the trail and minded his own business. This excerpt from John Steinbeck's short story, Flight, is a fictional telling of a creature or entity that has haunted California since the days of these missions. Tales of dark shadowy figures decorating the Santa Lucia Mountains have been passed down through generations. John's own grandmother told him stories as a child of her run-ins with creatures known as the Dark Watchers. It is said that the Os Vigilantes Oscuros, or Dark Watchers, appear to travelers at twilight as the sun begins to set. These entities are often described as 7 to 10 feet tall and shrouded, and are often described by witnesses as dressed in dark cloaks with wide-brim hats. Some accounts even describe them leaning on walking sticks or canes. It's also not uncommon to see multiple Dark Watchers cresting the mountaintops, staring down as you travel along. Many people report a sense of dread or impending doom right before seeing one of these beings, followed by an intense fear as if they were being stalked by a predator. But for those who have been brave enough to try and confront them, their efforts have always been in vain. Because these Dark Watchers, always turning to watch you, are said to vanish, melting into the mountain's shadow, should you step off the beaten trail and attempt to approach them. However, many people through the years, John Steinbeck's grandmother included, have said they have had success leaving out small gifts of fruit or flowers for these shrouded nomads, and in return, witnessed them appear to receive their gifts, leaving behind small gifts of their own. Over the years, as new settlers arrived, sightings of the Dark Watchers continued to crop up. The gold rush that kicked off in 1848 brought in new settlers from across the world, quite frankly, and with them, new sightings of dark cloaked figures began to trickle in. And with these new sightings and that sense of impending doom they brought, the question on everyone's mind seemed to be the same. What actually are these Dark Watchers? This is one of those cryptid cases with more possibilities than answers. In just about every religion on Earth, there's a connection to something lurking in the shadows. Numerous Christian converts have proclaimed stories of dark, shadowy creatures in pursuit of their soul while they were still lost in their sins. In Islam, there are the jinn, a shadowy group of spirits that are said to occupy the shadow world outside of time and space. The Hindus even have a goddess, Haya, who is the personification of shadow itself. Then, of course, that can lead us into the Hat Man, probably the single most common variation of a shadow figure seen across continents and ethnicities. This figure is said to be a shadow in the shape of a man, wearing, you guessed it, a wide-rimmed hat, quite similar to our Dark Watchers. Encounters with this Hat Man almost always leave witnesses with a sense of impending doom. Sound familiar? Now, sure, sleep paralysis or one or too many Benadryl is probably a safe answer to seeing shadows in your bedroom. I mean, heck, you could even chalk it up to floaters, those dark squiggly strands of vitreous fluid in our eyes that block little parts of our vision. But witnesses of the Dark Watchers are far from asleep traveling along the Pacific coast. So, what are these shadowy creatures really? There are a handful of possibilities that might explain the Dark Watcher phenomena across a scale from the scientific to the absurd. You can draw lines and look for connections to all kinds of things if you dig too deep into it. So, for sake of our sanity, let's dig too deep into it, shall we? First, I would like to draw a connection to another cryptid we covered back on episode 17, the Takuhi, or Walking Sam. South Dakota's Sioux tribe have reported numerous sightings of a Sasquatch-like creature who lurks in the shadows, but this tall and more slender version of Bigfoot has a discernible difference. Witnesses claim he sports a top hat. And on an additional note, often Sasquatch researchers use a method of gift-giving, leaving out small trinkets and food only to find woodland items left in their place the following day. And this sounds a lot like stories of leaving gifts to tall, dark figures wearing hats along the Santa Lucia Mountains, doesn't it? Okay, maybe it's a stretch, but it is still a possibility worth exploring, however far-fetched. Now, others claim that the Dark Watchers are nothing more than a chronic case of pareidolia, that ability we humans have at seeing shapes and faces in everything. Long shadows cast by trees or even the mountains themselves could induce a good old case of pareidolia. Ever went cloud watching? Then you too have played around with this trick of the mind. And while we're on the topic of clouds, one possibility stands out as the culprit among the rest. See, in the Harz mountain range in Germany, an interesting phenomena has been observed. Brocken Peak has had centuries worth of sightings of shadowy figures looming over the mountain. In 1780, Johann Zilberschlag, a German pastor and natural scientist who frequented the Harz Mountains, witnessed this strangeness for himself. Upon further research, Johann realized that as the sun set in the west, and if the atmospheric conditions are just right, the sun would actually cast his shadow on the clouds in the distance. If it was particularly hazy that day as well, the tall shadow figure would seem closer than it actually was, as if it was looming on the neighboring mountain peak. Couple this with the mist shifting with the currents of the wind, and it was as if his shadow was an entity all its own. Well, it just so happens that the Pacific coast would seem like the perfect place for this optical illusion, known as the Brocken Spectre, to take place. The sun setting on the Pacific Ocean, shining back towards the Santa Lucia Mountains, would create the perfect angle to cast a haunting silhouette into that rugged terrain. This alone most likely accounts for the majority of Dark Watcher sightings. But what about that sense of impending doom witnesses claim they get? Well, it turns out that might be scientifically explainable as well. In 2003, a psychologist and paranormal debunker, Richard Wiseman, asked 700 volunteers to listen to a concert featuring four distinct pieces of music. But what the audience didn't know is that two of the four pieces contained an infrasound, that is, a tone lower than the human ear can detect. Upon questioning the audience about the concert, over 22% of the audience reported a sense of foreboding and doom, while a number of others reported a tightness in their chest or having chills run down their arms. Another study was performed in 2008 by psychologist Christopher French, where he placed volunteers in a haunted room rigged with infrasound generators. Almost every single person later reported feelings of dizziness, terror, or an odd sensation in their chest. Now, in the wild, a common cause of infrasound is nothing more than the wind. When air circulates around an object, like say a propeller on a windmill or maybe a rocky outcropping on a cliff face, infrasonic waves as low as 17 Hertz can be produced. Now, couple that heightened anxiety brought on by infrasound with a bit of pareidolia or even a Brocken Spectre, and there you have your Dark Watchers. But then, of course, there are those who venture a bit more to the spiritual side of things. See, some theorize that traumatic events can leave behind residual energies. Think of it like a fingerprint left at the scene of a crime. This energy can manifest as a dark feeling, a residual haunt, or even physical ailments in our own bodies. Now, of course, this is all just speculation. We have yet to prove scientifically that this can happen, but historically, we have seen something similar time and time again across the world. Well, if we look back at the Pacific Coast's history as we did in the beginning of this episode, the Santa Lucia Mountains probably have plenty of residual energy to spare. And what better shape for a residual haunt to take than that of the uniform of the very people who forced the natives to adopt their ways of life? A dark gray robe, a walking staff, and a faded, wide-rimmed hat. If you love cryptids and want to learn even more about the creatures we just talked about, find us on TikTok or Instagram. Just search username @thecryptidatlas. By the way, the episode you just witnessed is both a podcast and YouTube video, so whichever format you prefer, we have you covered. Also, check out our interactive cryptid map to browse the globe and learn about cryptids from your favorite areas. Every single episode we make adds another pin to our map. You can find our social channels, the map, and more at thecryptidatlas.com. And when you find us, be sure to tap that follow button and get in on the action by dropping a comment on our recent videos. If you enjoy this show, consider sharing it on with a friend. And if you listen on Apple or Spotify, consider leaving an honest review to help other listeners know what to expect. Thanks for touring cryptids across the Atlas. Until next time, keep your eyes open. You never know what you might see just on the edge of the road.